Malcolm X always been real appealing to me. And then just growing up being black. So I feel like we got the worst hand dealt. And it's basically, that's it. And growing up like that and seeing all of that stuff, you just, it ought to make you a revolutionary. You should want to die for something. At least to see the rise of humanity, period. Not just your own people, but you got to raise the consciousness of everybody.
Since 1990, the Prison Creative Arts Project, or PCAP, has worked to facilitate arts workshops in prisons and juvenile facilities across Michigan. This Tuesday, March 14th in Ann Arbor, is the opening of the 11th annual exhibition of art by Michigan prisoners, curated by PCAP. Here's what founder Buzz Alexander had to say about the response of people who have come to view the exhibit.
What happens to them if it's their first time is that they find it impossible afterwards to keep their stereotypes of prisoners. They come in expecting prison art, meaning cells and gloomy and violent art, and they find some of that, and they also find an incredible range of portraiture and landscape and fantasy and political subjects and abstract work. And people will come into the gallery and say, "I didn't know," or they'll say, "This is magic," and they'll write that in the guest book.
In recent years, PCAP has initiated the Linkage Project, a program that pairs formerly incarcerated artists with a mentor in their field of art. Brandon Gatson is one of the artists in the Linkage Project, and he also worked with PCAP while he was serving a 3-year prison sentence. Here, he discusses his poetry, why he chooses the topics he does, and who he sees as his audience.
I've been writing since I was 10. Actually, it was an accident, I guess. My cousin told me I couldn't write a rap, and that was when I was 10 years old, and I ain't looked back since. I just kept writing. I began to take poetry serious when I was in prison. I did from 2001 to 2004, fresh out of college, home for summer vacation. I think I write poems for people who wouldn't read poetry if it didn't come from me, or people who wouldn't listen to poetry if it didn't come from me. It's like, I feel like I write for the people who won't even say nothing. And the people who just stay on the corner all day and don't even see past that, I feel like I write for them. Because I write what I see. When I see the dilapidation, I write about that. I write about the drug use, the drug abuse, the drug sales, the prostitution. I write about everything. I write about the little kids, the homeless people, the alcoholics. I write about all of it. And then I write about politics, too, because I feel like we get overlooked. So I write about that as well. I had went, when I was in prison, I was at Southern Michigan Correctional Facility. And I seen the sign-up sheet for a poetry reading. So I go there, and I get to talk. I listen to all the poets. I'm like, "Do we get to read our own work?" And they're like, "No, this is a reading about from the people that's in the poets workshop." Buzz Alexander was facilitating the workshop, and he saw the talent, and he helped me to curate it, I guess. Because I just got better. The more I went to the workshops, the better I get. Prison is like it's a subculture. It's like everything for that moment, like, sustains life a little bit more. But like once you out of the class, it's back to the dungeon. I mean, it's back to the reality of prison. It's just like when you're in a messed up relationship and you go to work and you come home and you back to this. When I came home, they put me in the Linkage program with William Copeland. We linked up and started working more together on writing, and here I sit as a better writer. Will would send me, when I was in prison, he would send me tons of stuff to look at. He is the only person, Will is like my only critic. He's the only person that to take a poem and be like, "Man, I think you could have did better than this." Nobody else does that. And when we talk, he just helped me to get better. Every time I talk to him, so much energy there.
I'm a body.
Buzz discusses the reasons for the prison boom of the last 30 years and what outsourcing and unemployment have to do with a 15-fold increase in the number of Michigan prisoners.
When people realize what kind of incarceration we've done, they begin to wonder why. They begin to wonder about the economics and the politics of it and so on. And when they really think about it, they realize that the people who've been incarcerated are not more criminal than the people were in 1970 or 1980. It's that the laws have been changed. They know that it's affected families and communities. If you go back to the late 70s and look closely, you'll see that decisions were being made about work and the cost of work in this country. And the decisions were basically to get back to low-wage labor. And so you saw outsourcing of work. You saw a huge step up in creating high-tech work to replace workers. You saw a concessions movement where workers were told that we can't compete anymore with, at that time, Germany and Japan, and therefore we need to lower wages in order to compete. And so on. I mean, it's just a huge effort. And you had an artificial recession in the early 80s under Ronald Reagan, which threw thousands and thousands and thousands of people out of work. Ann Arbor was full of people poking through garbage and begging and so on. It was transformed this city and cities across the country. And those people eventually ended up, many of them, in the prisons. They stopped funding mental institutions at that time as well, and people came out of mental institutions onto the streets, and people living on the streets had severe mental problems, as you can imagine, and they ended up in the prisons. And you look back to the early 80s, and you begin to see the beginning of the prison building movement.
We take that, what people consider as junk, and give life to it. And it's also like a sign of what we do to people. Sometimes we cast away people as if they are junk. But the Heidelberg Project is trying to bring life back into those same people that people have cast away as junk. So if you go over there, you would see like what people would consider bums or homeless people over there working for him. They'll clean the streets up so he'll pay them or he'll feed them.
Brandon is from the east side of Detroit, which has facilitated his working with the Heidelberg Project, a long-term, open-air art environment near his home that works to heal and restore communities. He serves in several capacities, working as a docent, as well as running a writing workshop for fifth graders in a nearby elementary school. He also facilitates writing workshops at Boysville, a juvenile facility.
I did three workshops for poetry, and basically I gave a lecture about my own life and asked the guys questions and tried to like basically deter them from the path that they're already on, because I am them. I've been in that situation before, so it's easy to relate to me. And plus, I'm not that much older than them. I'm only 23. So it's easy to relate to me because I know everything that they're going through. I listen to the same music they listen to. I dress how they dress. I'm just like them. So they see me in themselves. Basically, my response was a big stack of poems. Oh, man, I got some great poems. It's this one kid. I can't even remember his name. He wrote some beautiful work. And he's like, I'm like 14. I was like, man, I was just in awe. Because there was some kids there that was writing poetry anyway. And a lot of them was writing raps or whatever. Some type of form of expression. Of course, you had some knuckleheads. But being that I was a knucklehead too, so I knew how to deal with them. And basically, all I did was just put them on Front Street. Like, why you not going to do it or whatever. And then, like, try to get more into them. Because I really want to be like a mentor to them. Got my advance, I just wanted to shine. Jake's favorite line, dog, in due time. Now they look at me like, damn, dog, you what I am. A hip-hop legend, I think I died in an accident, cause this must be heaven. I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Now let's take them high. My brother about to come home, and he needs some support from the community, like to get out, because they don't want to let people out of prison. Once they got you in there, they try to keep you in there because it's money, $29,000 a year.
From neighborhood kids to his own family, Brandon tries to provide support and education to empower other people in the same way that PCAP has helped him to empower himself. He says that the children in his family, together with those he works with, provide him with the motivation for his work.
Man, it's just the little stuff, man, for the kids to come home from school and give me a hug. Just brighten my day. I could be feeling horrible or crappy. And they come home and they be over and they rush to me like I'm Santa Claus with a bag of gifts and I'm dirty as a mug. You know, it's just beautiful. Just to see them smile. It's like I care more about kids than anything, man. Because their future could be so bright. It's just led in the right direction and they don't go on the wrong path. And so I feel like everything I do for children. I won't consider myself a children's writer, though. But I want to see the kids get better than what everybody else had, because they the future. And they look at people like George Bush and the likes of him, Donald Rumsfeld and all them clowns. They're going to be screwed, man. So somebody got to be a proper role model. And that's what I try to do. I try my best to keep it real. I don't hold back no punches. I give people all of me. And if they can't, if it's too much to swallow, breathe. That's all I can tell them, breathe. Because I'm going to give you the real.
I think everybody would agree that when you're in a dark place, when you're dying, when you're cut off, when something's happening to you, when you're isolated, what you need to do, if you can possibly do it, is resist that by becoming creative, by turning to other people, by learning to laugh, you know, smiling, being all of those things. And so our work is part of the effort to resist what happens in those prisons and to enable people. We don't make them do this. We create a space and they come in because they want to resist it, and then we give them, because of what we're doing, tools and more tools and skills to do that. And in that sense, it's resistance.
The PCAP exhibition runs from the 14th through the 29th at the Duderstadt Gallery on the North Campus of the University of Michigan. For information about the ongoing events that make up the exhibition, you can visit PCAP online at www.lsa.umich.edu/english/PCAP. Brandon will be performing with Will Copeland at East Quad Auditorium on Thursday, March 16th at 8 p.m. This is Michelle Wingfield reporting for Black Box Radio.
And this is Gaurav Jishnani, signing off for the near future. Thanks to everyone at BBR and at WCBN-FM for producing and broadcasting Black Box Radio.